The first day of November is known as All Saints' Day in the Christian calendar, as Helen told us at the beginning of the service. Many churches around the world observe All Saints' Day either on the actual date, the 1st of November, or on the Sunday closest to this date. Here at St. Andrew's, we have a service to mark All Saints' Day on the 1st of November. This year, the 1st of November fell on a Sunday, so we held the service in this church this morning. All Saints' Day is an opportunity for us to remember the saints who have gone before us and to allow the memory of their faith to spur us on in our Christian lives. All Saints' Day is a celebration to honour all the saints who have died and are now in heaven. I hope you realise that all Christians are saints. Sometimes we think that saints are only very special people who are given that title by some distinguished church leader. But in fact, and the Apostle Paul tells us this in his various letters to the churches, that we are all saints. Paul addresses the saints in the various churches that he wrote to, and that includes us. It is appropriate that we are sharing in a communion service on this evening of All Saints' Day. We gather with Christians all over the world, whatever their background or tradition, around this communion table. We are reminded as we come to this table that we are all one in Christ. I want to just take a simple text this evening for this devotional talk. I don't want to expound a passage. We are departing from our Galatian studies tonight for 1 week. We will return to the Galatian series next week. But just for tonight, because of the significance of this day, I want to leave these words with you from 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 17. We had the words read to us a moment or two ago. Paul is the author. He says, "Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf." Eugene Peterson in the Message paraphrase puts it this way: because there is one loaf, our manyness becomes oneness. Christ doesn't become fragmented in us. Rather, we become unified in him. I like that. Our manyness becomes oneness. Paul's words are graphically illustrated on the communion table spread before us. The one loaf and the one cup, which you see on display on the communion table, symbolize the unity that exists amongst us. In some Christian traditions, the people sharing in the communion service eat from a common loaf, like this one here. The members will pluck off a piece of bread from a loaf just like this. This is something that we have done from time to time in my time here at St. Andrew's. And it would have been very appropriate for us to do exactly that this evening, but we can't because of the current COVID-19 restrictions. Each person drinks wine or equivalent from a cup or chalice. This is not so much in our Presbyterian tradition. For various reasons, we tend to shy away from that particular method of sharing communion and we leave our friends in the Anglican Church and other traditions to do that. But I have shared communion many times in that way, and I've always greatly appreciated it. What happens is each person drinks wine or equivalent from the cup or chalice, and then they pass the cup on to the next person, and so on, until everybody has shared in drinking the wine. In our Presbyterian tradition, we usually eat small pieces of bread. Sometimes they are very small. And we drink from individual glasses of wine. The method of celebrating communion varies greatly amongst the different denominations and independent churches. But the meaning behind it is exactly the same. Christian believers are many, but they are one body. Our manyness becomes oneness. The word for in our text, let me just read it again. We who are many are one body. For, says Paul, we all partake of the one loaf. The word for here points to the place of Holy Communion in bringing about unity. Christians who participate in communion services are first and foremost united to Christ. And this is what I want to stress as well. They are also united to all the saints. Those who have lived in this world over the generations, and that includes all those who are still alive in the world today. What is it that binds us together around this communion table? It is a shared identity between us Christians who maintain ties of fellowship and cooperation in Christian service, and who acknowledge Jesus Christ to be the sole King and head of the church. Christians across the denominational spectrum are bound together by a shared history that can be traced right back to the same spiritual roots. Within the Christian community, there is a strong sense of common identity and a unique feeling of belonging together. This word communion simply means to commune with God. This implies that we are linked to one another. The sacrament we are sharing in tonight is a parable of our relationships with each other as Christians, with each other as saints. As we partake of the one loaf, we demonstrate that we are members of the same household of faith. We may meet as strangers, but unseen hands have joined us together. So if you've come to the service tonight as a visitor or as a stranger to us, if you have faith in Christ, then you are united to Him. And that means that immediately we have this fellowship together. We are one in Christ. And it is amazing to be able to share that sense of unity, even if we have just met a few moments ago. What we experience around this table is real communion. It's not something that is manufactured. It is table fellowship, fellowship with God and with one another, here at St. Andrew's and with many saints around the world. And we will find out later how many saints are viewing this service online tonight. Within our Reformed faith, we rightly emphasize the vertical relationship each of us has with God. That is to say, the fellowship we have as individual worshippers to the object of our worship. However, we must be careful that we never do this to the extent of excluding the horizontal relationship we have with our fellow saints within the international family of God. We should make more of our corporate relationship as worshippers to the object of our worship. If only we grasped the reality that we are all saints marching under the same banner of all one in Christ Jesus, as Paul puts it elsewhere. Indeed, he says that in the book of Galatians, chapter 3 and verse 28. If only we realized that so many of the problems we face within the church, both at congregational and denominational levels, would be overcome. The church to which we belong is a place of love and acceptance. Sadly, the church in many places has been turned into a place of conflict and rejection. A few years ago, I heard the Reverend Robert Benn, a retired minister of a Presbyterian church, giving a sermon at a PIM, Presbyterian Inland Mission Service, at Sunshine Presbyterian Church in Melbourne. And during the sermon, he referred to the local churches in the town in Queensland where he grew up. This is what he said. I have never forgotten it. The Anglican Church had its annual ball, and the Presbyterian Church had its annual brawl. Well, I hope that's not true of our church. I'm sure it's not. Do we realize that because we are members of the unique family of God, we are therefore closely related to one another? As a saint, in other words, as a Christian, you can look into the eyes of another saint in this church or some other church, and from your heart, you can address the person as a brother or sister in Christ. Christians are blood brothers and sisters in Christ. What I mean by that is, through the blood of Christ, we have this great sense of unity. One of the older members of our congregation asked me a few weeks ago to do something for him. He said, look, I would like you to go to a solicitor's office here in Canberra and represent me and sign some documents on my behalf. I need someone to do this, and a minister of religion would be an appropriate person. So as my minister, I would like you to do it for me. So I readily agreed. He told me where the solicitor's office was, and I contacted the office, made an appointment, and one morning I went to see the solicitor to do this paperwork and do the various signing. The solicitor entered into some casual conversation to begin with, and then we got down to business. And after asking me a few questions, she then looked at me and said, or I should say, she asked me, are you related to this gentleman? She mentioned his name, of course. Well, I'll keep that anonymous. And of course, she was expecting me to answer no. I took her by surprise. I said, yes, I am related to this gentleman. Oh, really? And how are you related? To which I replied, I'm a brother in Christ. She just about collapsed at that point and fell on the floor. Anyway, she did recover, but she did tell me that she did understand it, really, because she was from a Catholic background and was a regular church attender. So, but she got the point. I think she did. My friend, my parishioner in this church, was more than just a friend or an acquaintance, more than a parishioner. He was, in fact, a brother in Christ. The Great Fellowship of Christian Believers knows no barriers of denominational label or ethnic background. One of the greatest tragedies over the past 20 centuries has been the deep divisions within the Christian church, which have resulted in splinter groups of Christians all over the place. Only yesterday I was talking to someone who was telling me about their church background and their experience over the years, and it really is one split in a church after another. How sad. This communion table this evening on this All Saints Day tells us that is not the way it ought to be. Here in Australia, we are no strangers to divisions within the church. The long fractious process that led to church union in 1977 resulted in a breakdown in relationships between Christians who once worshipped and served together. This has not been a good witness for the Christian faith in Australia. This fractured relationship still blunts the effectiveness of our evangelism and outreach in many places in Australia. A few years ago, on a visit to Melbourne, I visited St. Paul's Cathedral. As I walked around the cathedral, I came to the prayer desk in the Chapel of Unity, where Pope John Paul II prayed with the then Archbishop of Melbourne, the Anglican Archbishop of Melbourne, David Penman, on the 27th of November 1989. The Pope prayed this prayer: God our Father, you have made us to be one and sent your Son Jesus to be our light. Bring together in truth the separated Christians, that we may all be one and the world believe in the light of your love. Amen. The common loaf you see on this communion table reminds us that in Christ we share a common grace and possess a common life. At this table, we are all equal. Every artificial and conventional distinction disappears. Possessions mean nothing. Fame means nothing. Social classes mean nothing. One of the distinctive features of this church is its ethnic and cultural diversity. And it's reflected even in our congregation here tonight. We as members of St. Andrew's come from different backgrounds, which make us different. But we meet around the communion table, which makes us the same. Those who are visitors with us this evening, who come from other Christian traditions, you are welcome to join us at this table on the basis that in Christ you are the same as us. If you are watching this service online, you are also welcome to join us wherever you are. Please have something to eat and drink available so that you can share in the communion service with us.
common loaf
helps to focus our attention on all that binds us together. As we share in this communion service on this evening of All Saints' Day, we not only are reminded of the communion of saints, but we also can have communion with the saints. In a few moments' time, during the communion liturgy, I will say these words. Therefore, with your, that is God's, people of all places and times, and with the whole company of heaven, we proclaim your greatness. What a wonderful phrase that is. Let me repeat it. And with the whole company of heaven, as we share in this service tonight, as we join together in communion, we do so as one here in this congregation. And we also do so as one with our brothers and sisters, our fellow saints throughout the world. But as you partake of this sacrament this evening, I want you to quietly remember the saints who once lived here on earth, but they have now gone to their eternal rest. We were singing about them at the beginning of the service. For all the saints who from their labors rest. There are many saints who lived in this world. We never met them. We never knew them. They didn't live in our generation. And over the years of this church's history, there have been many people who have worshipped God in these pews, and they have shared in many communion services. Perhaps you knew some of them. You might even have been related to them in your wider family. I want us tonight to remember them with deep gratitude. And as we do so, let us now prepare to have communion with the saints. Amen.